Okay, Erev Tov Lekulam. Good evening to everyone. Due to the fact that some people are going to be listening to this that don't understand Hebrew, I'm going to speak in English. And I did a little survey. I think everyone here does understand English. So you'll excuse me that I'm not speaking in the language of the land. A year ago, my father, Zichrono Livracha, Lechaye Olam Haba, passed away, and throughout the year, as is normal for anyone, we try to think of the various principles and ideals that he stood for, and to make sure that those are continuing in this world. And one of them is indeed the topic of this evening, namely, how do we, as a Jewish religious people, actually go ahead and think about things that could be dangerous or could be wonderful. Therefore, I call this class Wine, Alcohol, and Filtered Internet. Namely, all these three items, as well as others, are things that potentially could be wonderful or potentially could be terrible. It really depends on what you use it for. And I want to deal this evening with one question, and that is, should we indeed have filtered internet? Should we indeed have synagogues, shuls, that don't have any alcohol, even at Kiddushim? Should we go ahead and say our life has to be filtered because we can't trust the Jewish people not to fall in to the pitfalls that wine and alcohol and filtered internet happen to have? That's going to be the topic tonight, and I want to start with two small stories about my father. When my father came to Israel in 1988, he was the assistant administrator in a hospital in Yerushalayim that's now called Herzog Hospital. One day he came home from work and he was very agitated because of lettuce. Why was he agitated because of lettuce? Lettuce is, in my opinion, tasteless. I don't know why people eat lettuce outside of Maror, but people do like to garnish their salads with lettuce. And he came home very agitated, not because it's tasteless, but because of the following reason. He said that the mashgiach in the hospital came up to him and said that because lettuce might have bugs, take it out of the hospital and don't buy it at all. And then the list went on for many other things that potentially have bugs, and ultimately it's better not to deal with it and not to eat it. My father was very agitated and he said, since when did the Jewish people scared of challenges? There's a challenge. There's bugs in the lettuce. The approach we have is not to use it at all, or the approach we have is let's deal with it and see how we can use it properly. Second story. When computers started to become something that even geniuses don't have, computers used to be only for geniuses, computer programmers and whatnot. Computers used to be very big. Ultimately, as we all know, computers became much more something that everyone has in those years. Now we have cell phones. And indeed, I was in school at the time where the common thread of every teacher was, we can't put computers in the classrooms because it's bitul Torah. If you have a computer with internet, you are, by definition, going to go ahead and not learn enough Torah. There'll be distractions all day, and therefore computers are bad. Don't bring computers into the Beit Midrash, into the study hall. Don't bring computers into the classrooms because they're a distraction and they're going to actually produce bitul Torah. I don't have to tell everyone here, but that's a very nice joke to think about when we have these things now in our pockets or in our teak and whatnot, and therefore to talk about computers as a distraction is funny. In the program I run, we actually don't allow cell phones into the classroom. We do allow computers, knowing very well that some people are taking notes and some people are surfing the internet. So computers today are on the lower level. But in those years, computers were considered bitul Torah. And I remember saying this Friday night at the Shabbos table. And my father once again got very agitated and said, we have to be scared of a screen. We have to be scared of a keyboard. And that's exactly the topic I wanted to deal with. Is the Jewish approach, if there's bugs in the lettuce, not to eat it at all? If wine can produce drunk addicts, take the wine off the table and only use grape juice. If indeed there is internet, at best have it filtered, maybe at worst, do better have a phone that's not too smart, and ultimately you'll only have phone calls and SMSs. Is that the Jewish approach, or is the Jewish approach quite the contrary? And that is, we're not scared of challenges, we meet them. So if you look at the top of the source sheet, you'll see that I started with a Gemara in Masechet Psachim. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha minochalei ha'olam haba. Three people for sure will inherit the world to come. Ve'elohen, and these are the people that for sure have an insurance policy that they're going to inherit the world to come. Number one, Hadar be'eretz Yisrael. Number two, Hamigadil banav le'talmud Torah. And number three, Hamavdil ala yayin b'motza'ei Shabbatot. Let me ask you all a very serious and stupid question. Do you think all of these are on the same level? Living in Israel, hard or not hard? Difficult. Raising your children to Talmud Torah, that even after school and high school and whatnot, they still learn Torah. Hard or not hard? Extremely difficult and challenging. Finally, if you make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat on wine, difficult or not? If you ask me, there is a ratio here that doesn't make sense. Raising your children in Israel and raising a family in Israel, raising your children to Talmud Torah and pouring wine and making Havdalah on it are not at the same level. Anyone that has half a brain can ultimately take a cup of wine, follow what it says in the Siddur, and make Havdalah. So why is it that in this Gemara, Chazal said, they're all on the same level? Living in Israel, raising your children not to be assimilated, and making Havdalah on wine. And it's not the only time Chazal made a big deal out of Havdalah. If you look at the next source in Masechet Shvuot, that Yud Chet Amud Bet, Masechet Shvuot doesn't deal with the holiday of Shavuot, simply because there's not much to say about the holiday of Shavuot. You can't fill up a whole tractate of the Talmud on how do you eat blintzes in the morning, and how do you ultimately have cheesecake. So therefore, obviously, Masechet Shvuot deals with oaths, promises we make, and what happens when we say them. Whoever makes Havdalah on wine after Shabbos will have wonderful children, and the Gemara even brings a verse, a pasuk, to prove it. Quite frankly, it seems like Chazal are making a very big deal out of Havdalah on wine. And I want to ask a very simple question, why? And in order to deal with it, let's talk about wine for a moment. The family has decided that we're going to dedicate, and we dedicated a Yekev, a winery, in the memory of my father, right here in the neighborhood. It's now being built. And one of the reasons is exactly what we're going to deal with now. Wine is different from all other beverages. How? That's not a theoretical question. Feel free to talk. How is wine different from all other beverages that we eat and drink?
It takes a long time to make.
First of all, it takes a long time to make. Secondly, by the way, you can look in the source sheet. The oral Torah was already written down. You can look in the source sheet. Dov says it's a special bracha. Indeed. The first source on the sheet says, "V'chein al mashkina yotzim mikol minei perot chutz mezeitim ba'anavim mevarech shahakol." Any beverage you buy, from Coca-Cola to water, you make shahakol on, except for shemen. We won't deal with that tonight. And wine that you make a borei pri hagefen. Number two, wine is not only unique in its bracha; it's also unique in how we deal with it at a meal. So tomorrow night is Shabbos. We're going to wash our hands after we make Kiddush. We're going to say Hamotzi. And then we're going to serve the first course, be it gefilte fish or chreime or whatever you eat. Do we make a bracha on it? Absolutely not. We already said Hamotzi. It covers all the food on the table without a problem. Now, if we take a cup of wine that we didn't make Kiddush on and we start drinking it during the meal, do you make a bracha or not? The answer is yes. Even during a meal when you made Hamotzi, if indeed you want to drink a cup of wine, you make a borei pri hagefen even in the middle of the meal of bread. Number three, not only is it unique in its bracha and what we do with it at a meal, it's so unique that it's like bread is for the meal. If you wash and make Hamotzi before the meal, you don't have to make any other bracha. Wine has the same capacity. If you drink wine and say borei pri hagefen, you don't have to say a bracha on any other beverages that you're drinking at that particular meal or that particular kiddush. And therefore, on a Shabbos morning, it is a question that we all hear Kiddush at a Kiddush, and right afterwards we eat and we drink. Do we really need to make a bracha on the beverages we drink? Some will say no, you heard Borei Pri HaGefen, and others will say, well, if you yourself didn't drink it, you actually do have to make a bracha. And finally, the Gemara says that in the most extreme happiness and the most extreme sadness, wine is part and parcel of that experience. The Gemara says, V'samachta b'chagecha, you shall be happy on all the three holidays of the year, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, as well as probably Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Albeit Yom Kippur, we can't eat or drink. The Gemara says the way to be happy today, without a Beit HaMikdash and the various korbanot that we used to bring, is by virtue of wine. For some reason, everyone quotes the Rambam that says basar v'yayin, but the Gemara says here in Masechet Pesachim that achshav she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayam en simcha ela b'yayin. That today, when no Beit HaMikdash is there, the way we fulfill the mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha, to be happy on your holiday, is through wine. And the other radical situation: a family comes back from the cemetery after burying a loved one. What's that first meal called? Su'udat Havra'a. During that meal, there's various halachot. It has to be served to the mourners and whatnot. And there's various customs as to what you serve. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, and I quote, Amar Rav Hanan says, Rav Hanan, Lo nivra yayin ba'olam, Ela lenachem avilim, ve'leshalem sachar la'rishaim. One of the reasons that God created wine, which already was said is very hard to make, is because we want to console those that are very sad. So they come back from the cemetery, you want them to drink a little cup of wine in order to calm down. So we see that wine is very unique in its bracha and what it does at a meal, not to mention the fact that it's the way to fulfill v'samachta b'chagecha, and on the other hand, the way to begin the shiva. And my question is, if wine is so unique, how come every time we talk about wine, it's either or? Either it did something wonderful, or it did something terrible. Where's the first time in the Torah we talk about wine? Noach. Noach. Was that a good ending or a bad ending? Pretty bad. Next time. You remember Lot? Remember his wife? Remember his two kids? Remember the story? It was all because they got their father drunk. Terrible stories. On the other hand, we continue in Sefer Bereshit. Now we get to the story of, let's say, Yaakov running away from Lavan. Finally, he catches up to him, and they make a deal. What do when they make that deal? They eat and they drink. Later on, Yitzchak makes a deal with Avimelech, Vayishtu, Vayishkeru. Later on, Yosef meets his brothers. They don't know it's him, but he knows it's them. They eat and they drink, and nothing bad happens. As a matter of fact, there's a nice mood around in all those three instances. So in general, we see that wine is very positive sometimes and very negative. You look on the right side of the page, the Medrash says, Kol makom she'ata motze yayin, ata motze kishalon. Anyone that drank a cup of wine in the history of the Jewish people, you find failure there. No more, no less failure. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Al tira yayin ki yitadem, al tira yayin shacharito dam. Indeed, look at the wine. Usually it's red. Remember your blood, and remember that at the end of the day, you're going to lose all your blood. So every time you drink wine, remember you're about to drop dead one day. Not so exciting. On the other hand, if you look on the left side of the page, it says in various places that wine has been wonderful. Amar Rav Yossi ben Kisma, Gedola legima she'erchik ha'shtei mishpachot mi'Yisrael she'ne'emar al derva she'lo kitmu otchem belechem uvamayim. If you remember in Parshat, Dov, help me, Ki Tisa? Ki Teitze? Lo kidmu etchem balechem uvamayim. Who is that talking about? Moab, it says that you don't go ahead and do them any favors. If need, kill them, because they did not greet you with no more and no less wine. Bread and water, and the Gemara says, if they would have had one sip of wine, all those things wouldn't have happened. Sefer Achinuch says, Al kein nitchayavnu la'asot ha-ma'aseh. Therefore, we have to make Kiddush im hayayin. Lefi sheteva ha'adam itorer bo harbe shehu so'edu misameach. Indeed, the Sefer HaChinuch says, wine is wonderful, and therefore when you make Kiddush and you say, today is a very holy day, it's Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, or Shabbat, the way to do it is start with wine. So we see that wine can be wonderful, and wine can be terrible. We have the story of Noach and Lot, and we have the story, other stories in Sefer Bereshit. On the one hand, we see that Chazal loved it, and on the other hand, we see that Chazal basically stayed away from it. So where is the answer? So I am assuming at this point that you can go home and ultimately say in a very vivid way, well, due respect, basically it depends. If you're in an alcohol-free shul, you've come to the conclusion that it's terrible. And if you're not in an alcohol-free shul, you probably think it's wonderful. And quite frankly, we can leave and say, okay, there's different views in the Gemara about various things. You take any topic, you'll see there's various views about various things. Aliyah to Israel, the end of Masechet Ketubot, various views if it's a good thing or a bad thing in certain situations. You can take any other question, you'll find that indeed it's not a halacha, it's Chazal sometimes said this, and other rabbis said that. Chazal is not one person. It's Chachameinu Zichronam Livracha. They said various things. I would like to suggest this evening that perhaps there's no machloket. Indeed, wine could be terrible and wine can be awful. But quite frankly, there's a middle path. And what's that? Balance. Let's see. The Talmud Yerushalmi Masechet Kiddushin says, Rabbi Chizkiya, Rabbi Kohen b'shem Rav, atid adam liten din v'cheshbon al kol shera'a ino ve'lo achal. So, we all know that one day we'll stand before the Kisei HaKavod, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that final test. Various suggestions as to what God is going to ask us, and what is He going to fail us on. And one of the many things that we can fail on, says the Yerushalmi, is not necessarily that we didn't learn enough Torah, not we spoke in shul, not even if we left during the rabbi's sermon, but what? Al shira'a ino v'lo achal. You walk by a table, you see a delicious chocolate cake, and you say, I'm on a diet, I'm walking by. On that, says God, I'm going to get you. Now, obviously, if you're on a diet, chocolate cake, I can understand. But let's take it a step further. There's the Alps. Where? Where are the Alps mountains? Which country? France. There's a low-cost flight to get there. You can afford it. If you don't go see the Alps, says Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, based on this Gemara, you will ultimately, in the world, in the next world, fail the test. Because it's a beautiful thing, and you stayed away from it. Says the Pnei Moshe, which is a perush on the Yerushalmi, shenafsho mistagveget behatavut al hadavar venimsa choter al nefesh. That ultimately you stay away because you're worried it's going to suck you in. It's going to suck you in so much that maybe you'll say, you know what, I'll stay in the Alps because it's so beautiful. Forget about my family, forget about my kids, forget about my job, forget about all my responsibilities. I'm going to stay there. And indeed, the Radbaz, who lived right after or around the time of the Shulchan Aruch, the 16th century, says, V'lachen nikra ha-nazir chote. Why is it that the nazir, decides to be a nazir, is called a chote? Namely, you have to bring a korban chatat after he's no longer a nazir. When he finally cuts his hair, doesn't look like a schlump. And when he finally, indeed, eats wine, drinks wine and eats meat again, he has to bring a korban chapat. Uveyushalmi shatir adam itenim v'cheshbon at sheya afshalu lehenot me'asher bara elokim livruav ve'lehenot bahem ve'lo nehana. Says the Radbaz for a very simple reason. Wine was there. God said it's beautiful, like anything else God created. And what did you do? You, the Nazir, stayed away from it. The Rambam says the same thing. The Ramban disagrees. He thinks the Nazir is a very holy man. But the Rambam and the Radbaz and many other Mefarshim say that's why a Nazir brings a Korban Chatat. He did a sin. He stayed away from wine. And indeed, the bottom line is that according to these sources, I believe that indeed wine can be wonderful, wine can be terrible. It really depends not so much on balance, but how you use it. How you go ahead and drink wine. Do you drink a whole bottle all by yourself and ultimately get into a car afterwards? Or do you drink a cup, maybe two, and leave the car keys far away from you? And the same thing is true, by the way, not just with wine. The bottom line is, it's true with everything. Let's take another example. Is TV good or bad? Now, I wasn't here this week, and I was actually in a seminar, so I didn't see it live. But I saw it later at night. I opened up the computer, the terrible computer with the terrible internet that we should all stay away from, and I saw the deal of the century and what President Trump offered to do between Israel and the Palestinians. Now, let me ask you all a question. If I didn't see it on the internet as a video, I would have seen it, I would have read it in the paper. Would I get as excited? The paper is written words. So when we read, it's nice. But quite frankly, when you vividly see it in a movie, it's much nicer. Ultimately, it really depends how you use your computer. Are you going on to garbage sites? Are you using it, God forbid, for pornography and to cheat people? Or are you using it to actually get excited about the times we're living in, not to mention the endless, endless classes and shiurim of Torah that are on the internet? It really depends how you use it. The same thing is true with the TV. The same thing is true with almost anything. A newspaper has terrible Lashon Hara in it and also has very interesting katavot. So quite frankly, I believe that all the examples we gave is indeed comes down to one question. How do you use it? How do you use it? Do you go ahead and say, I'm going to overuse it either this way or that? Or do you say, yes, balance, it depends how? And what is the trick that we Jewish people have that we ultimately say, okay, it really depends how we use it? There is a very strange thing that we Jews do right after Shabbos. And that is we make havdalah. Now, on special days in the Jewish calendar, we do special things, correct? Pesach is a special time. We don't eat chametz on the one hand, we eat matzah on the other. The Seder night is full of mitzvot. Rosh Hashanah is the shofar, Yom Kippur is fasting, Sukkot is the sukkah and the lulav. Let me ask you all a question. Did we ever have a mitzvah that once the day is over, we are going to celebrate that it's over? Is there such a thing? So we had Pesach. Pesach's finished. Is there a celebration called Thank God Pesach is over? And don't say Mimuna, has nothing to do with it. I'm not talking about eating chametz after Pesach because we're all in withdrawal for 7 days. We're all constipated. We're also, unfortunately, drinking too much wine because we want to fill up ourselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God saying, or the sage is saying, now that Pesach is over, do a special mitzvah. On Pesach, I understand. It's a special time. You do special things. On Shabbat, we make Kiddush. We have 3 meals. I understand. Now, how could it be that once Shabbat and Yom Tov is over, we have a special mitzvah? The special day is finished, gone, and now we're starting the weekdays, and we start with a mitzvah. As a matter of fact, it's such a mitzvah of Motzei Shabbat that indeed, preferably, you have to wait till after Shabbat to make Avdalah. Even if you only do it on a cup of wine, you don't use the fire or the besamim, you have to wait till after Shabbos. Now, let me ask you all a question. Isn't that strange? After Shabbos, God commanded us with a mitzvah. On Shabbos, I get it. It's a special time. How can it be after Shabbos? It's like Purim. Many people suffer through Purim. Other people like it. Imagine Purim was over. We'd say, oh, thank God Purim's over. Let's have another holiday tomorrow. Why? Because it's over. What is that all about? I would like to suggest that Havdalah is the sixth sense over the five that a Jew has to go and to deal with the world at large. On Shabbat, we're all in a bubble. We're in our communities, we're in shul, we're at home, we barely do much, and quite frankly, we sleep a lot. There's not a lot of time to sin on Shabbat. However, Shabbat is finished, we're getting out of the bubble, we're putting on the phone again, we're putting on the lights, we're putting on everything. There's a lot of challenges out there. Number one, you go into a store on a Motzei Shabbat, a supermarket. There's kosher food, there's non-kosher food, there's healthy food, and there's nosh. How are you going to go ahead and navigate through that? You open the TV, there's wonderful programs, there's terrible programs. You open the internet, wonderful websites, awful websites. How are we going to navigate through this world once we leave the bubble of Shabbat? In my opinion, we have one little trick. It's called Havdalah. What does Havdalah literally mean? Distinction. Distinction. We go into a supermarket, we make a distinction between kosher and non-kosher, healthy, non-healthy, a little nosh, not too much. We go ahead and open the computer or the TV or any other challenge we have out there. Distinction between what we're going to watch and what we're not. And therefore, the Chachamim, which we started with, made a big deal out of the wine at Havdalah. Not so much the Havdalah per se, but the wine. Now, why did they make a big deal about the wine? Because wine is one of the many challenges that are out there. On the one hand, wine can be wonderful. On the other hand, wine can be terrible. How are you going to navigate? How are you going to indeed use wine for the right things and not for the wrong things? Havdalah. This is called nice. And once I overdo it, or I'm about to overdo it to be precise, this is already not nice. And indeed, if you look on the source sheet, you'll see that many, many a times throughout the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says again and again, Lehavdil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Parshat Bereshit. He started to Lehavdil between the Shabayim Va'aretz, the water, the land. Finally, humanity continues. We built the Mishkan, the first Jewish center in the history of the Jewish people. And indeed, you all remember that Nadav and Avihu were killed right afterwards. Vayedaber Hashem el Aharon l'mor. Yayin v'shechar atesh tatau banecha itach bevoachem. Eloho moed velo tamutu chukat olam l'dorotechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no wine when you come and work in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today yet. Where is this halacha very relevant? So what do we have? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we have a Mikdash Me'at, correct? What do we do in that Mikdash Me'at? Birkat Kohanim, first and foremost. A Kohen that's drunk cannot go ahead, or if he drank any wine up to a ravid, he can't duchen, he can't go ahead and do Birkat Kohanim. What else? You got a daven when you're bone drunk? Absolutely not. And the list goes on and on. Now that's in shul. That's in the Mishkan. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds mitzvah number two. Ulehavdil ben HaKadosh uven HaChol uven HaTamei uven HaTahor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say in the next pasuk, and therefore when you leave the Mishkan, you left the shul, you go into the world, only look at the kosher animals. As a matter of fact, if you're going to build a zoo in Yerushalayim, make sure that there's only kosher animals. Why? Because God forbid a little boy's going to come and he'll look at the giraffe and he'll say, wow, that's a beautiful animal. It might be kosher, might not. Then he'll continue and then he'll look at a pig or he'll look at a donkey and he'll say, wow, terrible, awful. He may get excited about a donkey. It can lead him to eat non-kosher meat. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not the way to do it. Don't not have non-kosher animals. Lahavdil ben atamei uven atahor. Go ahead and make a distinction. These I eat, these I look at, I can pet, I don't eat it. And ultimately, therefore, in this particular context, in my opinion, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, say you can't drink wine in the Mishkan, but don't think that once you leave the Mishkan, I just want a very pure world of Taharat HaKodesh, and ultimately that will be the world that you'll live in. If you look at the Rashar here, she indeed says, Vayavdel havdala inyeno rak hafrada shlilit, ki im gam kfiyat makom ugvul chiyuviyim, kedei la'anit lo yechud v'yeud mishelo. Says the Rashar here, when it says havdala, it doesn't just mean, this is what I stay away from. Havdala also means, this is what I go to. Havdalah is not just, I stay away from these websites. Havdalah is, and these are the websites I go to. And indeed, in my opinion, that's exactly why wine on Motzei Shabbos is so important. You're about to begin the week. All these challenges are going to hit you from all sides. What is the power, the secret potion that the Jewish people have? Havdalah. Distinctions. Make havdalot when you go into a supermarket, watch TV, surf the internet, use your phone. Make havdalot. And indeed, the Yalkut Shimoni says so beautifully, based on the Masechet Derech Eretz. The Masechet Derech Eretz is not part of the Talmud Bavli. It's a bit later. Yayin rubo kasheh umiyoto yafeh. Drinking too much wine is very hard, but drinking a little bit is very, very nice, says the Yalkut Shimoni. Kesha adam shote kos achat, hu kerachila anav veshafel. Ukeshehu shote ga gimel o dalet kosot, miyadun asak kechazir shemitlachlech. Petit varefesh. I don't think I have to explain, but quite frankly, wine can be wonderful, but when you overdo it, it can be awful. Therefore, on Motzei Shabbat, when we take a cup of wine in our hands, we're saying, we are willing to meet the challenges of the world. And the first challenge of the week is going to be wine. I'm going to drink it responsibly. That means the wine of Avdallah, don't overdo it. Maybe drink a little more at the Malava Malka and be very, very careful not to drive that evening. And the list goes on, but wine is a great way to start the week. Too much alcohol is terrible. A little bit could be wonderful. And then we open the TV and we open the internet and we open all these things and we ultimately make those distinctions. So I started the class with a story about computers that will only be Bitul Torah and lettuce only has bugs. Quite frankly, there is a way to clean lettuce. And quite frankly, the computer screen has wonderful things on it, not just terrible things. We Jewish people usually are not excited about good things. Newspapers will not go ahead and sell if we only write everything's okay. If they wrote, Baruch Hashem, this morning there was a minyan in shul, and my kids got out, and I got to my gym, and I was able to eat three meals, and I didn't lose my temper at work, that wouldn't sell newspapers. But if it's bad and gossip and negative, that sells newspapers. For example, someone this evening posted on Facebook that a certain something that they invited for a bar mitzvah with the wonderful, efficient post office we have in Efrat arrived a month after the bar mitzvah. Now, if she would have said, thank God, it's a day before the bar mitzvah and this has arrived, would anyone look at her post? No, it's positive, you know, to respect, not interest. Negative against the mayor, against the post office. Whoa, did she get likes? I don't know what you could like without that, but quite frankly, she got it. So we like to speak negative, but quite frankly, lettuce is our maror. Yes, even maror has a positive and a negative. It's a negative because it reminds us of the terrible time in Mitzrayim. It's also positive because it garnishes what? You serve the Korban Pesach on a bed of matzah and maror. That cannot be bad. It's actually delicious when it's served with meat. As I said earlier, lettuce alone, I don't know why people eat it. But quite frankly, with a little meat, it's actually not so bad. So, we go ahead and a rabbi says we cannot have lettuce because it may have bugs. There's a way to clean lettuce. Why should we look at something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and say, it's awful, it's bad, I don't want to go near it? If indeed it could be cleaned, let's clean it. It has some sort of a virtue because it's in this world. If indeed we're living in a world with technology, we're living in a world with computers and phones and whatnot, does anyone believe that all of this is happening and all you could say is, all bad, nothing good? It's very much like our relationship to Medinat Yisrael. No one in this room is going to say, Medinat Yisrael is perfect, wonderful, there's never a bad day here, everything works out, we all make a good salary, Mas Hachnasa is very nice to us, and our Noner bills are very low. It's not so easy to live in Israel. But as we started this class, the Gemara in Pesachim says, if you're willing to live in Israel, and look at the positive, and also mention the negative, it could be a wonderful experience. And the same thing is true with anything else that we touch. So indeed, this class was dedicated to the memory of my father, Zichrono Livracha L'Chayei HaOlam Haba. Quite frankly, that was the way he lived his life. He wasn't scared when computers came out, even though he didn't grow up with computers. He learned it, and eventually, within a year, because he was very handy, he was able to reformat computers and constantly continue with the times. And indeed, the computer was used for those positive things that it can give, not for the negative. And the same thing is true with regard to wine. That's the reason why we decided to dedicate a Yekev in his memory. Because as we said throughout this evening, wine could be wonderful, wine could be terrible. It really depends on how you use it. As a matter of fact, I didn't bring it here. Rav Kook says that one of the ways, the litmus test to know how wine is bad or good, is when you drink it. If you're drinking it to celebrate the fact that it's Shabbos or a Yom Tov or a good occasion, a L'chaim, wonderful. But if you had a hard day and you go to the liquor cabinet and you take out a bottle of wine, that's awful. That's exactly, in my opinion, why we went ahead and said we're willing to have a Yekev and for children to go ahead and to plant the grapes and eventually to put the wine in the bottles, because we want to teach kids from a very young age. No, we can't filter your life. No, we can't totally put a blindfold on you from all the things that have challenges. Deal with the challenges. Don't run away from them. And sometimes, yes, there will be a challenge out there that will say, you know what, we can't go ahead and deal with it, we need a safeguard. And therefore, if people want to put filters on their phones or on their computers, that's their business. But what I personally don't like is that everyone in the world, if you have a keep on your head and you don't have a filtered internet, you become a terrible person to what we call in Hebrew a dati light. Why is that? We have many, many challenges in the world. One of them is the phone, how much we use it, what we use it for. But quite frankly, why is that different than anything else? A car has brakes. It also has a gas pedal. So how can it be that when it comes to phones, nah, we don't trust your judgment. Nah, you're not the person to decide. We'll decide for you how to use the phone. That's not what, in my opinion, Yahadut and Halacha has taught us throughout the centuries. And I'm just wondering if indeed that was what Yahadut and Halacha taught us. I wonder, would indeed the Maccabim go out and fight against the Yevanim? They'd say it's dangerous, it's not easy, let's stay away from it. The Jewish way is to stay away from trouble. We stay away from trouble. We'll go into the cave in Modi'in, we'll close the cave, we'll shut our mouths, and we'll live through it. We'll close our eyes, and God willing, we'll be okay. That's not what they did. They went ahead and they dealt with it. And Baruch Hashem, there was a miracle. And I'm just wondering if indeed Jews were scared of challenges of sorts, shapes, and sizes, what we have in Medinat Yisrael today. There was every reason to stay away from it. Many Arabs around us that don't like us, not to mention the fact that it's very challenging to have a Jewish and democratic state and how we balance between them. And I can go on and on and on and all give you all the excuses not to live in Israel and not to have a Jewish state. But quite frankly, that's not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is to deal with challenges, not to run away from them. And that's ultimately one of the legacies that my father left in this world. He was able to deal with challenges that came at him, including very hard challenges. For example, making Aliyah to Israel in 1988, together with my mother and the family, when everyone, from family members to friends, said, "You're crazy." This is before Nefesh B'Nefesh. This is before many American Jews made Aliyah. It was very unheard of. When we got to the airport in Israel, July 5th, 1988, I think it was a good joke on my father's part to sort of spit on America. We left on July 4th, 1988. We arrived in Israel on July 5th. If everyone remembers the old Terminal 1, today's Terminal 1, then it was the only terminal. Upstairs was a Misrad HaPnim. We were the only ones. Summer, we were the only Olim, and according to the Pekidah of Misrad HaPnim, For weeks. And he dealt with the challenge, and he came here, and he never regretted it, despite being far away from family, having to learn a new language, having to learn how to run hospitals in Israel, which is different than what he did in America. Hospitals run there differently than in Israel. And ultimately, he met the challenge as time went on, to computers, routers, phones, and whatnot. In my opinion, that's what Yahadut teaches us, and therefore, allow me to conclude with the following halacha. Tomorrow night we'll make Kiddush, God willing, and I hope you make it on wine, because I think this year, if you remember one thing, you'll remember the word wine. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, when it talks about Kiddush, Im lo ta'ama mekadesh b'ta'am echad ha-mesubin kim lo lugmav yatza. If indeed a person makes Kiddush, and he takes a sip, but he doesn't drink melo lugmav, which is a cheekful, He fulfilled his obligation. However, mikol makom, mitzvah min hamuchar sheyitamu kulam. If you want to make kiddush properly, the proper way is, after you make kiddush, everyone tastes wine. Now, why is that so important? If I go ahead and I make kiddush and say borei pri hagefen, I have to drink the wine. Why is it important for everyone to drink the wine? Why is it the Shulchan Aruch says that's the mitzvah min hamufchar? In my opinion, and I'm giving my own interpretation to the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo in the next world may say you're off your rocker, but I'm going to try it anyway. Everybody here knows that many, many perushim were written on the Rambam. Correct? Endless. As a matter of fact, anyone that knows the Bar Ilan Proyekt Hashu'ut knows that when it comes to the perushim on the Rambam, it's endless. They have it divided up from Aleph to Kaf, and then from Lava to the end, because there's so many. So one of the many perushim on the Rambam was Reb Chaim Brisker. So Reb Chaim Brisker eventually writes a book on the Rambam, changes the whole way we learn, gets up to Shemayim and meets the Rambam. And he says, Rabbeinu Moshe bells down to him, when you said this and you said that, did you really mean Chefza and Gavra? And the Rambam looks at him and says, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, well, when you said this and you said that, did you mean this is a din klali and this is not a din klali, it's a din prati? No, I didn't mean that. And this goes on and on for about 20 minutes, and everything Reb Chaim said, the Rambam didn't mean. Finally, Reb Chaim gets up, walks away, and says, what does a Taimani know about a Rambam? He doesn't know how to learn a Rambam. So, it could be that what I'm saying now, Rav Yosef Karo will say, you're wrong, that's not what I meant. But I'm going to try anyway. If one person drinks a little wine, you fulfilled your obligation. But Friday night, if you want to educate the people around the table and yourself, not to dodge challenges, but to deal with challenges. They both start with D, but one is dodge, stay away. The other is deal with it. Everyone should drink wine, albeit carefully. Know how to drink, and not ultimately lose everything from your mind to your stature as a human being because you drink it. And that's why, indeed, the Shulchan Aruch paskins what he does. And indeed, on Shabbat, the halacha is that we don't drink, we only make kiddush, we do it b'makom se'uda. Because even the meal has many, many challenges to it. First of all, overeating. Second of all, what you talk about at the table. So if you're going to make kiddush, the day is holy, the meal is holy, now let's say you do holiness. Let's say you get through the Shabbos meal, one course of the Shabbos meal, and not speak about something bad. I believe it's very difficult, and I say that about myself. It's very difficult to run a meal. It's very difficult to sit around the table and only talk positive and not negative. Or indeed, to have a balance between positive and negative. But that's, in my opinion, why the halacha is, Ein kiddush ela b'makom se'uda. You want to make kadesh the way you run your life? Go ahead and have a meal, and let's see you get through it properly. I believe that in our day and age, we have one main goal. If you have to sum up Judaism, and many people have tried, I'd like to suggest all of Judaism is one attempt to make kadesh everything that we touch. The way we eat, the way we drink, the way we drive, the way we run an office, the way we talk, the way we get upset, the way we don't get upset. That's all of Judaism, to make kadesh everything that we touch. And indeed, the halacha gives you taryag mitzvot, many mitzvot derabanan, many minhagim. And that's nothing compared to what we deal with today. There is no minhag as to how long should you use a cell phone when you're home with your kids at night. There's no minhag yet about when a Friday comes and you're about to go somewhere for Shabbos, how much before do you have to leave your house so you don't get stuck in the endless traffic that never, ever ceases from our wonderful Kvish Min Harot. There's no halacha about it. There's no minhag. It's up to us to decide. And that's ultimately what I believe is the legacy my father left us. And therefore, the two dedications we made this year was the plasma screen outside these doors and the yekev. I spoke about wine, that it can be wonderful or terrible. It depends how you use it. A plasma screen is no different. You can look at the TV for hours on end. Never stop watching TV. There's so much on. I still remember the time in Israel when we moved here. And my father being handy, he had an antenna on top of the building that he put on. You know how many channels we had? Three. And this was, wow, they have three channels. There was one channel in Israel. Arutz Chaim Epis was starting, not there yet. We got Jordan TV, which had a few American sitcoms. That was it. That was the whole TV, and that was the big choice we had. When I was a kid, the ice cream store had three flavors. Which ones? Chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. That was the big, big debate you had when you walk into an ice cream store. You walk into an ice cream store today, you need a doctorate on ice cream. Which ice cream do I like? And you start trying this one and that one. Chocolate has 10 variations, not to mention strawberry and vanilla. There's so much out there today, it's really up to us to decide how we're going to navigate it. And with the power of Havdalah, I believe the Jewish people can go ahead and prevail. We have to not go ahead and dodge challenges, but deal with them. And hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem will deal with them properly, and we'll be able to mekadesh everything that we ultimately confront and touch. I thank you all for coming this evening. It's indeed not something that we see lightly, that on a Thursday night you come out and indeed remember a memory of someone that lived here for so many years. I thank you all for coming and giving of your time. And Be'ezrat Hashem, everything we said should be li'ilui nishmato. I'll just end with Kaddish, and you're welcome to go outside for a few refreshments. Mm-hmm.